Judges chapter 10, verses 6 through 10. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served him not. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, and also served Balaam." You may be seated. What a fabulous scripture. It absolutely says what the problem is. And do you think that's the problem that's happening right now?
The title of this message is Baal Worship in Judeo-Churchianity, Part 3. Well, if you look around, the gates of hell have prevailed against the false church. The last thing in the world they would want to be accused of is being a special race chosen by God to be above all the other races in the world, as clearly stated in Deuteronomy 7:6. And yet, the double mind is perfectly at ease with the notion of people who reject and despise Jesus Christ being called God's chosen people, who in turn generate the label of white supremacist as if it were a dog turning to its own vomit. Well, in John 10:38 and 20:29 through 31, Jesus, in essence, told them, even if you don't believe his simple proclamation and doubt his word, believe the works, the signs and wonders, that you may know that he is the Son of God. Likewise, being consistent with Jesus' reply for proof, the true identity of Baal worship can only be found by finding the morals and dogma, if you will, if I can borrow a term from Albert Pike, within the religious organizations that practice them. Well, do the elements of Baal worship dovetail with modern Judeo-Christian churches? There's about a dozen components of Baal worship, so let's find out. I've already touched on some of these elements, but I want to itemize how we can easily identify Baal worship in the modern world today. Someone may say, that was thousands of years ago. We don't do those things today. But Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, what has been done will be done again, and what has been will be again. There is nothing new under the sun. There is no new source of happiness, not to be confused with self-gratification. But the excesses of immorality, as has been said, just may have to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart and a bunch of others have made comebacks as if nothing ever happened. However, Baal worship is there for those who have eyes to see. So let's take a look, shall we? The first mention of Baal worship in the Bible was really worship, wasn't really worship in the conventional sense that we understand it to be, but was actually the first element of Baal worship, spying. Spying and working against the children of Israel. This came from the story of Balak and Balaam, which we mentioned in part one. We have to understand who Israel is in the world today to understand who it is that is being spied upon. Nobody is spying on Jews who have stolen the identity of Israel. But a very solid case can be made against Jews who are spying against the white Christian nations of the world today. Who are the true nations or tribes of Israel? America has been especially vulnerable to the Mossad or Jewish spies. In the early 1950s, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were tried and executed for espionage, being part of a Soviet communist spy ring targeting our early nuclear weapons program. And many other Jews were involved, and about the same time, Senator Joseph McCarthy was opening his can of worms, exposing an incredible network of Jewish communists in and out of our government. But even back then, the Jews had wormed their way into the highest echelons of government. I can't name all of these Jewish spies because there's just too many of them. But the Jonathan Pollard case was especially unnerving in 1985, who turned over some 800,000 pages of information, including U.S. code-breaking techniques and names of U.S. agents in Israeli and the Middle East. In 1993, a huge scandal erupted in San Francisco where the ADL is caught operating a massive spying operation on critics of Israel, various organizations, and even the San Francisco Police Department. Data collected was sent back to Israeli. Pressure from Jewish organizations forced the city to drop the criminal case, but the ADL settled a civil lawsuit for an undisclosed sum of cash. On 9/11, five Israeli Jews are arrested for filming the planes crashing into the World Trade Center, dancing and cheering while the Twin Towers collapse. Supposedly employed by Urban Moving Systems, the Jews are caught with multiple passports and lots of cash. Two of them are later revealed to be Mossad. As witness reports track the activity of the Israelis, it emerges that they were seen at Liberty Park at the time of the first impact, suggesting a foreknowledge of what was to come. The Israelis are interrogated and then eventually sent back to Israeli. The owner of the moving company, used as a cover by the Mossad agents, abandons his business and flees back to Israeli. The United States government then classifies all the evidence related to the Israeli agents and their connections to 9/11. All of this is reported to the public via a four-part story on Fox News by Carl Cameron. But pressure from Jewish groups, primarily AIPAC, forces Fox News to remove the story from their website. 2 hours prior to 9/11, Odigo, an Israeli company with offices just a few blocks from the World Trade Towers, receives an advance warning via the internet. The manager of the New York office provides the FBI with the IP addresses of the sender of the messages. But the FBI does not follow up. In addition to a whole cast of Jewish characters complicit in the 9/11 conspiracy, let's not forget also, after 9/11, some 200 so-called art students, that is, Israeli spies, were arrested and then conveniently deported back to Israeli by the Bush administration, who again dropped all charges. Since 2003, the Israelis have deployed assassination squads into other countries and here, while the U.S. government does nothing in protest of international law violations. Well, how does this tie into Baal worship, you may ask, or into Judeo-churchianity? Well, it's a well known that the unbiblical Catholic confessional was nothing more than a glorified eavesdropping device to spy on their congregants. This has permeated into the Protestant churches, minus the Holy Outhouse. The shocking news reports about 5 years ago revealed that the clergy response teams are being trained by the federal government to quell dissent and pacify citizens to obey the government in the event of a declaration of martial law. In May of 2006, it was revealed that a FEMA program was training ministers to become secret police enforcers who teach their congregations to obey the government in preparation for property and firearms seizures, mass vaccinations, and forced relocation, which they like to call concentration camps when it pertains to World War II. Well, one of these clergymen blew the whistle on the feds and said they needed ministers to help implement homeland security directives in anticipation of a potential bioterrorist attack or some kind of natural disaster or a national emergency, perhaps an economic meltdown. Hurricane Katrina set a precedent for mass gun confiscation when police and National Guard forced homeowners to hand over their legally owned firearms. You know, gun grabbing always precedes the communist takeover of a country so that they don't get their heads blown off in the process. Have you registered your gun yet so they can knock on your door first? There were 38 chaplains trained by the feds operating in 8 different camps telling the detainees that the government is established by the Lord. But recent history demonstrates this practice, with the KGB assuming ownership of the Russian Orthodox Church after murdering millions of rural Christian farmers. In essence, it is a preemptive strike, abusing Romans 13 to get the sheeple to accept the machinations of wolves. I can just hear these mealy-mouthed reverends trying to defuse a situation by telling patriots that still have a brain in their head, let's cooperate with these authorities here because, you know, the Bible says the government is established by the Lord. After the crisis is over, you can get your guns back. Well, the CRT, clergy response team, was told that they would get backup for uncooperative individuals or even SWAT teams to quell resistance. Actually, there's no such ridiculous claims that we Christians have to obey anybody just because they have a badge or a gun. Our colonial forebears had the motto, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. In the first century AD and now, the police do the dirty work for secular authorities. A police state is anathema to law and order. There are allegedly 23,000 clergy who are projected CRT trainees. They are nothing less than a brotherhood of Judases continuing to crucify Christ. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. 2 Peter 2:19. The second element of Baal worship is interracial fornication or mixed blood marriages. Now, this is a biggie that shows how far down in the sand the church's head is. God created everything after their own kind. And that kind is synonymous with species. There are three: Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid. They are separate species known as races. Therefore, creating a half-breed from two different species is tampering with God's creation and prohibited by God's law. It is virtually the Baal worship of self playing God to create something that God never intended. The New World Order of Antichrist Jews want to homogenize all races, which God created, into one indistinguishable form of mongrelization, so that the people are without any cultural or ethnic identity worldwide. And that's just not the white race, all of them. It would be the death of culture as we know it. Now, this godless utopia is just the opposite of the kingdom of God on earth. And make no mistake about it, the kingdom of God will be an all-white kingdom when the Baals are destroyed. There was a valiant attempt to break away from the Jewish Bolshevism of racial mongrelization when university studies in genetics and eugenics were progressing miraculously in Germany from 1933 to 1945. World War II was not only an economic war, but a war between the sciences of heredity, anthropology, ethnology, and the false theories of environment and Darwinian evolution. The German position on race, science, and Christianity became such a serious threat to the ambitions of Jewish world domination that the Jewish World Congress declared war on Germany in 1933, leading to the bloodshed of a world war. So you can see how a massive campaign to miscegenate America could change it from a nation of white Christians to an adulterated country of Baal worshipers. In the 1930s, all racial studies were eliminated from American university curriculums and replaced with the Jewish fabrications of unscientific anthropology. This anti-Christian education would facilitate the changing complexion of the church. The Jewish enemy is well aware of the necessary integrity between our physical and spiritual purity. For without it, there is irreparable damage, a deadly contamination that results in our inability to access the Holy Spirit. How does Baal worship infect the churches in this area? Well, the Babylonian records clearly reflect a doctrine that is obsessed with sexual interpretations of the Bible. And consequently, we see a sanction of promiscuity in today's churches with a Baal orientation in prayers and unauthorized forgiveness for what the Bible deems to be capital offenses. When I see these charismatic churches that are usually integrated, gyrating uncontrollably to the rhythm of Africa, we are witnessing a Baal ceremony, an excessive emotional indulgence that is repugnant to God because it's a carbon copy of the ecstatic singing and dancing of ancient Canaan. There certainly weren't any holy rock and rollers among the pilgrims and Puritans of colonial America. They might have gotten fired up on the preaching of God's words, but not their hormones. The third element of Baal worship, forsaking God. We read this in today's scripture reading. We have taken God and the Bible out of practically everything that has to do with our race. The schools, the government, and yes, even the churches are removing God doctrine by doctrine. The Baal priests say we don't have to observe the law because it has become inferior to grace. But Baal worship destroys the relationship between law and grace. The serpent promised Eve two things, immortality and wisdom. Ye shall surely not die, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Did Eve forsake the Lord and believe the lie? Yeah, she did. The idea that the body dies but our mental state continues cannot be found in the Bible. And yet, isn't this Babylonian lie taught in the churches today? If you don't believe God when he says, ye shall surely die, you are forsaking his word. You've abandoned God and are whoring after a strange God. Baal worship believes in man's inherent immortality before the resurrection, and thereby negating the most important promise of Scripture. Christ died for our sins so that we might have eternal life. God has provided no other scheme of salvation. Nothing could be more absurd than the conduct of those who doubt the truth of Christianity and instead turn to the wisdom of human testimony, which is Baal. The real Christian has seen his guilt and misery and his need for turning to the Savior. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The pagan concept of an afterlife is that you die and go somewhere beyond the grave. But ask yourself, who is the biggest advocates of this presumption that when you die, you go to heaven or hell in a conscious state? My Bible says that when you die and return to the earth buried in the grave, in that very day, your thoughts perish. Therefore, quote, the dead praise not the Lord. Who makes all of these promises that all you have to do is believe in an innocuous God, not having to bother with his word, and you get to go to the big Disneyland in the sky? It's the Baal priest and their minions repeating the lie of the serpent, the doctrine of Baal, forsaking God. They don't know their place with God when he says, the heaven Even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The fourth element of Baal worship is serving Ashtaroth. This is the modern feminist movement, whereas in ancient times was known as goddesses. I guess Charlie Sheen would know about that, having two prostitutes on each arm whom he calls goddesses. Today's leading goddesses are Jewish women who have spearheaded a type of replacement theology from patriarchy to matriarchy, which makes sense because Judaism is matriarchal. Their plan of operation is to liberate their world from the intolerant attitudes of white, God-fearing Christian men. They teach freedom from oppressive stereotyping and thus promote and support the myriad of perversions and immoralities. And what better way to apostasy than to put a priestess of Baal behind the pulpit? Hillary Clinton says it takes a village to raise your child, just like in Africa. Wouldn't that be paradise? Living in a circle of mud huts while the menfolk go out and hunt lizards and snakes for dinner? Today in modern progressive America, babies are born in hospitals, automatically become wards of the state. If you parents play that game, and they don't really belong legally to their parents. Is it any wonder then that the churches have surrendered to Baal worship by providing daycare centers for the tax slaves to dump their children in during the day while they go off to work? In China, parents are only allowed to have one baby. That is now being circumvented by U.S. travel agencies offering package deals for the Chinese to come over here where their baby can be born and, as a special bonus point, become U.S. citizens. You think the framers of the Constitution ever saw that one coming? There are sanctuary churches that give illegal aliens aid and comfort. In criminal law, that's known as an accessory. The white mommy and daddy are just caught up in the rat race, and there's nothing the 501c3 most reverend pastor can do about it because his hands are tied to Baal. Jewish feminist Gloria Steinem, co-founder of the National Organization of Women, known as NOW, said, quote, "By the year 2000, we will, I hope, raise our children to believe in human potential, not God," end quote. How about that? Ashtaroth emasculates the patriarchal nature of true Christianity. That's why there are so many soft-spoken, effeminate Baal priests in the churches, and a reversal of women taking the place of men in the workplace. The fifth element of Baal worship is prostitution and illicit behavior. It's hard for most people to believe that there is a religion that worships sex, let alone it being in their church. But Baal worship of ancient Canaan was derived from Babylon, where trees were symbolic of procreation. God's word says, "Thou shalt not plant a grove of trees near the altar of God, nor set up any image," meaning a pillar, "which God hates." And yet, every Christmas, trees are positioned near the sanctuary of the church. The ancient temples of Baal were centers of vice. The priestesses were temple prostitutes. They were ordained as a religious practice. And it was illegal for a woman to refuse to have sex with anyone, regardless of race. I have a report in my files about a Catholic nunnery having a dirty little secret that their converts, their convents, are nothing less than brothels to Baal. Now, this was a very popular article back in the 20s and 30s. Just off the top of my head, I think it was called something about Sister Charlotte, I think was her name. Well, this religion of prostitution was imported to the West by the Jews. The Talmudic principles come from Babylon. That's why they call it the Babylonian Talmud. And the Jews have infiltrated and influenced all major denominations and are Judaizing them as fast as possible. Henry Ford uncovered the reality of Christian seminaries and Bible colleges being infested with about 80% Jews in the 1920s holding the positions of professors and doctorates of theology. Imagine what that did to the curriculum and how the Edomite Jew became the centerpiece of the origins of Christianity. During the Clinton regime, we had a Madison Avenue Jewess in the White House, a very unrepentant and proud temple prostitute, Monica Lewinsky. The so-called churches of America did not have enough clout, or maybe guts, to impeach Clinton, and Slick Willie was rewarded with a $13 million book contract for his memoirs. And guess what he said? He said that he did what he did with Lewinsky because he could. And you would think that a moral and betrayed wife would divorce him in a New York minute. But Hillary was neither, being a high-ranking witch in the occult herself. This modern-day version of Ahab and Jezebel is a mere reflection of Baal worship in our society. How many Christian ministers have been compromised and blackmailed into Baal worship? And this, of course, is the technique of the protocols, where they destroy the foundations of authority through carnal temptations. And they did it with Woodrow Wilson. And that's how the Federal Reserve came about. When new congressmen come to Washington, the vultures are waiting. The sixth element of Baal worship is homosexuality. When I was first preparing this message, I called some folks in our congregation, this is back in Washington, who had children, and I wanted to get their opinion on how to handle this subject, and we agreed that the enemy would probably gloat over the free advertising. So I'm not going to say a whole lot about this chosen lifestyle of degenerates. At the same time, God gave me a scripture from Ephesians 5:12 that confirms our responsibility to limit our speech. And it says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." The problem is, it's not in secret anymore. The Baal worshipers are literally marching down main streets in parades of pride. And they're being ordained as ministers and performing same-gender weddings. It's only a matter of time before they will start the demand for adopting children and the legalization of pedophilia. But be of good cheer. God's law gives us the right to be free from the criminals of Sodom. If you recall, King Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all of his days, as he took away all the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols. They will be removed again. Amen. Pride goeth before destruction. The seventh element of Baal worship is abortion. The killing of babies, whether born or in the womb, preferably the firstborn. In ancient times, the ritual of convenience was intended to produce economic prosperity by prompting Baal to bring rain for the fertility of Mother Earth. The natural consequences of such behavior was pregnancy and childbirth, and the associated financial burdens of unplanned parenthood. However, these were easily offset by either homosexuality or with child sacrifice available on demand by taking part in another fertility ceremony to terminate the unwanted child. The worship of fertility is now euphemistically called pro-choice. To the true Christian, this industry of sacrificial ritual is almost incomprehensible when it's a matter of religious practice. It comes from the stranger and his strange gods. God didn't care what the heathen did. He just didn't want his people to doing what the heathen did. And I don't care what the heathen do either. They can abort themselves into oblivion for all I care. I can't condemn a white girl being raped by a beast of the field and aborting what God never intended to be born. But the Baal church will encourage our damsels in distress to bring the mongrel to term. Most abortionists are Jews or adherents of the occult or sociopathic deviants. They are taking innocent life as a form of worship. Now, there may be a few honest physicians and nurses in the medical establishment who can empathize with the victims of rape and understand an ethical abortion without having anything to do with Baal worship. Most people have heard of Planned Parenthood, but they are unaware of the lucrative kickbacks they get from the abortionist for every referral. Where do you think these referrals come from? They come from the soft-spoken, effeminate clergy who are moonlighting as counselors for distressed teenage girls. Their motives might be more than altruistic when you consider they get $25 a pop, and that was 10 years ago when I first gave this sermon. And they're counseling thousands of young girls every year. At a meeting of doctors in New York, the book, The Death Peddlers, quotes a Dr. Erwin Kaiser, a pioneer in the field of abortions, speaking in front of his peers. He says, quote, at $160 per patient, this is a substantial moneymaker for the hospital, and obviously if we were prepared to step into the competitive New York market, where abortions go as high as $1,500, we probably would make a substantial killing, if I may use that expression, end quote. At this point, the book describes widespread laughter throughout the audience of doctors. As Lamentations 1:16 says, my children are desolate and perishing because the enemy hath prevailed. Baal worship is particularly hard and grievous on children. Hosea 4:6 says more than just my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It also says, since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Baal worship is a device to intentionally disobey the commandments of God. How many churches are left that preach obedience to all of God's laws that weren't nailed to the cross? Believe it or not, there are some churches who are pro-choice or just don't have the guts to be against it. There is sin in the camp, and they are in the camp of Baal worshipers. Since the 501c3 church is a creation of the state, it is not a creation of God. The state then assumes the role of a parent and can legalize abortion, since the 501c3 church cannot challenge its creator. It was important to put a sexual spin on the seduction of Eve, as they taught that the serpent was God, whom they called Baal, and a woman could come to be purified in the groves to have illicit relations with a representative of Baal, who was the priest or temple sodomite. The Canaanites also twisted the prophecy that God would send his son to earth to be a sacrifice for sin. Thus, the so-called purified woman would bring her firstborn child back to the grove, for they were the sons of God, or Baal, and were sacrificed. This was the method of justifying sin and reversing the effects of Adam and Eve's transgression. To shed further light on the depravity of this priestcraft, they perverted ritual sacrifices of Israel's ordinances, whereby the Levitical priest would partake or eat of whatever was offered as a sacrifice. The Baal priest would eat the firstborn. Hence we get the word cannibal, Canaan Baal. There's another disgusting fact that fulfills scripture, mainly through the legalization of abortion. Many abortion clinics dispose of the rotting flesh of aborted fetuses in the same kind of garbage dumpsters that other businesses have. And many refuse collection companies, in order to defray cost, sell their organic garbage to hog farms. Swine will eat nearly anything, and witnesses have seen them eating body parts. Now I ask you, how many fattened hogs are butchered and sold to those nice little old church ladies who prepare a big ham dinner for Easter? How many people have eaten pork fattened on the bodies of our own children? Listen to this, Deuteronomy 28:53. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. I don't think that's a metaphor or allegory. This is a literal prophecy that's coming true. Because these laws of God are not always fulfilled in conspicuous ways, we often do not recognize when we have come under the curse of the law. Our people are doing the same thing the Canaanite Baals, the cannibals, did as religious rites thousands of years ago, albeit indirectly. Another sidelight is the basis of cannibalism established the foundations of reincarnation. The Baal priest believed that he absorbed the spirit of the infant's innocent perfection. So it was not only for the parents, but for the priestly lust for power. This belief was also widespread in Africa among the Negroes, who would eat their tribal buddies and drink their blood to obtain their spirit and power. They especially developed a cuisine for enemy warriors, thinking it would make them stronger. When the white man arrived on the scene, on the African continent with his far superior intelligence and weapons, the Negro naturally licked their chops for the coveted white man's spirit. Missionary stew was a popular dish because the tar black primitives thought the white man's intellectual prowess would be transmitted to them through digestion. The eighth element of Baal worship, pornography. I mentioned earlier tracing the Easter Bunny back to the fertility goddess Ashtaroth, and most have seen the Jew Hugh Hefner's logo, the bunny. What do you think? This might be an inside joke among Baal worshipers? Well, there's nothing new under the sun. In archaeological finds under the debris of jars containing the remains of babies sacrificed to Baal were found enormous amounts of images and plaques with rudely exaggerated body parts. I suppose it would be anti-Semitic in saying that the Jews control and have a monopoly on the porn industry, just like many other vices that they've had their filthy hands in. Going back to the times of the Roaring Twenties and burlesque, and then moving into the movie studios and theater chains, up to the present corporate takeover of Disney, turning family pictures into subliminal smut. But it's true! They own and control it, and most other major media outlets. Dr. Ed Field's newspaper, The Truth at Last, estimated that the porn video rental business has grown to $4.2 billion a year. This was, again, 10 years ago. So I thought I better brush up on the statistics. And so I Googled the information, and today it's around $14 billion. Before 1960, such magazines as Playboy were banned and even considered un-American. Senator Joseph McCarthy's House on Un-American Activities Committee was killed because after investigating the red communist in Hollywood, many of whom innovated the lowering of morals in film, he tried to go to the next level. He started finding more communist Jews in the highest echelons of government, and his committee finally came to a screeching halt when he hit a nerve in the State Department. Well, what do you suppose these Jews are doing with all their big porn profits? I would guess that they're funneling it back into Baal worship, buying political influence through bribes, and incorporating obscenity at every level of society. They're funding every anti-Christian, anti-American, and anti-white campaign they can. The Jew Karl Marx, one of the founders of communism, said, "Religion is the opiate of the people." Well, Baal worship has become the drug of choice for Judeo-churchianity. It's no coincidence that the lust of the flesh is connected to the Church of Saint Viagra. Sorcery is in the sanctuary. This habitual craving for evil in the name of Christianity is pure Baal worship. Their audacity to flaunt sin as a virtue, whether miscegenation or lasciviousness, has no other purpose than to stimulate the carnal desires of the flesh with impunity. It has no redeeming spiritual value to white Christian society. The ninth element of Baal worship, learning the ways of the heathen. Jeremiah 10:2 is telling us to not do the things that other races do. Baal worship emulates alien practices that are antithetical to white Christian worship. If God made us to be like other races, or other races to be like us, he would have done so. If we're to believe Psalms 147, 19 through 20, that God has only shown his word law unto Israel, and that he has not dealt so with any other races to know what we know, or that the new covenant, as articulated by Jeremiah, is also dealing with the same race of Israel people in whom this time around God puts his laws into our hearts and writes it into our minds. Again, exclusively separate from all other races. If we are to believe these basic principles of God's will, then how on earth can any white person want to be like the other races who are lawless, without the law, and void of morality? In Jeremiah 19:4, Israel changed their country into an alien place by bringing in other gods and shedding innocent blood. Our people are doing the same thing today. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. That man of sin is synonymous with the lawlessness of Judeo-churchianity that has been deceived by the worship of Baal, and the falling away or apostasy that is now in full bloom. There have been so many books written by good patriotic Christians warning us that everything from government to churches are being used for the benefit of non-whites, and thus the genocide of our race by adopting the heathen spirit of multicultural diversity, the herd instinct of animals to whom God never gave his Holy Spirit to, in order to comprehend and administer the divine law. It was never their calling. Could it be any more clear than Isaiah 44:3 that says, I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thine offspring? Why does our posterity forsake their heritage and do the things the way the heathen do? Well, it's because of the change agents in Baal, in educational institutions, the place where our children go to be indoctrinated with the propaganda of racial equality. The same kind of psyops is working in the Sunday school class. It's warfare without bullets. But we can start fighting back by doing the things that our God would have us do. How? We read, believe, and obey. Which leads us to the 10th element of Baal worship: disobedience to God's law. Baal worship encourages our people to disobey the commandments of God. They do this by making us believe God's law is no longer in effect, which is totally false. Or they'll take Matthew 22:36-39 out of context and say, this is the only command for us left, that's left for us, to love God and to love your neighbor. And then they'll lie and say that God loves everybody and everybody is your neighbor. They conveniently ignore verse 40. which puts it all in context. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Even Jesus emphatically declared, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." But that's exactly what the Baal worshiper thinks, and in so doing disobeys Christ. Almost all federal, state, and local laws based on the Bible have been scrapped and have been replaced with the mercantile laws of Babylon. Peter and the other apostles, when persecuted for their teaching the doctrines of Christ, said, "We ought to obey God rather than man," meaning the Baal worshipers. Acts 5:32 explains that when we obey God, we are given the Holy Spirit. And when we exercise this gift of the Spirit, this power of the Word, it will either convict or enrage a person. To the priestcraft of Baal, there is safety in numbers and less chance of a rope being put around their neck. Romans 6:16 asks this question: "Don't you know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" By yielding to Baal, one becomes an accessory to the crime. The great deception is to get people to be servants of Baal by using the name Jesus. The great delusion then is that this voice of a false Christ in your head saying, "Just be my friend and we'll be so happy." I'm sure that's what Joel Osteen is telling people in this area this last weekend. And he's such a nice man, such a nice Baal priest. Matthew 24:5 says, "Many shall come in my name," especially preachers, "saying, 'I am Christ,'" which means Messiah, "and shall deceive many," not a few, many. It's not some little isolated situation, it's widespread and pervasive. So who is calling themselves messianic these days? It's Jews, because they obey their Talmud that teaches them that they are the Messiah, not Jesus Christ. And if the preachers in Judeo-Christianity want to preach Zionism, then they are preaching another Christ, not the one in the Bible. Do Zionists and Christian Zionists make our people disobey the commandments of God? They certainly do, for they are servants of Baal. "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Be ye therefore not partakers with them." So when they say, "Can't we just be friends?" the answer is no. The 11th element of Baal worship is astrology. Worshiping the host of heaven. And by the way, what's your sign? I'm just kidding. When the ancient priestcraft kept records of cyclical events such as eclipses, you can understand why they wielded such power over people ignorant of the natural sciences that we now take for granted. Yet this prediction business of associating the pattern of the stars to one's destiny is as popular today as it's ever been. It's no big secret that Nancy Reagan consulted with astrologers to help Ronnie run the country, but I guess the Baal priest could not see the great communicator, his future retirement as the great poster boy for Alzheimer's disease. The wisdom of the world becomes anathema to the wisdom of God. The astrologer, like the Judeo-Christian minister, tends to have an overactive imagination. And here we hit upon a key word. In Genesis 8:21, God makes quite an admission by saying, "The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." The Hebrew word signifies not only imagination, but also the purposes or a concept, like the idea of forming something or molding the shape of an object, like a potter. But isn't God the potter and we're the clay? Baal worship, like Judaism and secular humanism, puts the emphasis on self rather than living a Christ-centered life. And astrology does nothing to glorify God, does it? The 12th element of Baal worship, causing their sons and daughters to pass through the fires of Moloch. This last one could be a separate sermon all by itself. We've talked about the utter depravity of this practice earlier, but I'd like to touch on this aspect of Baal worship that is in almost every church in America. The idea of roasting babies alive is almost unimaginable. But the concept has formed into a basic doctrine of churchianity, accusing God of the same kind of sadistic torture by way of an unimaginable fire that burns sinners forever. The Protestant Reformation was fought over an abuse of this doctrine of hell called the selling of indulgences. The root of all evil is the love of money, and if you follow the money trail on this issue, the fear of hell overshadows the fear of God. And the priestcraft will cash in on it every time. We like to think of ourselves living in a modern society free of ancient abominations and superstition. But the modern church, through a misunderstanding of the biblical meaning of hell, has borrowed the torturous practice of Baal worship and incorporated it into their religious beliefs. The only difference now is that instead of the Baal priest causing the burning of babies, they say that it is the purpose of God to burn the disobedience in an eternal hellfire, which would seem to go beyond the horrors of the Baals. It makes a very serious accusation against our God, the God of Israel, the creator of the heavens and the earth. When Israel adopted Baal worship and sacrificed their children, not merely being slain, but were burned alive, it was shaping an idea to teach people an afterlife of eternal pain and suffering. Is that really our God, whose mercy endureth forever? This is what God told them. Who imagined such things? And they who built the high places of Baal to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fires of Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came into my mind that they should do this abomination. If this idea of burning people in a conscious state never entered the mind of God, and he calls it an abomination, why would anybody think that God would commit a parallel abomination that is even more unimaginable? It's because the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. If you read on in Jeremiah 32, you will find the true character of God, whereby the sins of the people are judged in righteous anger, with sword, famine, and pestilence, but not the cruel and unusual punishment of the Baals. In verse 37, he says, "Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in my great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they may not depart from me." The fear that God wants from his people is the idea of being departed or estranged from him, not the fear of passing through the fires of Moloch. Our ancient kin thought they were worshiping the true God, but they nullified God's law with their vain imaginations. How many churches in America today, or for the world for that matter, stand accused by the words of the prophet Jeremiah? "Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit." Baal worship is the milk of God's word mixed with the wine of Babylon. All it takes is a little bit of leaven to spoil the whole. Any one of these 12 elements of Baal can poison a Christian church. It's difficult to think that most Judeo-Christian preachers can be helped, who are, for all intents and purposes, Baal priests, because they will not listen to anyone who tries to tell them the truth. Oh, especially if they perceive you to be a white supremacist. Just as the Lord said, "A shameful and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end?" What will we do? More and more could be said about these 12 elements of Baal worship, but I think you are now better armed than before to identify the apostate church and are equipped to give a proper warning. Baal worship is heresy. Rest assured, we need not waste our time in endless debate or conversation that goes nowhere. Titus 3:10 tells us, "A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject." But we are fishers of men. And every now and then, we get a good catch. I hope the people listening to this message have caught on to the trappings of Baal worship. I thought I would conclude this message with part 3, but we have some unfinished business. And I always like to close on a happy note. We really need to know how to bring down the Baals. And that's what I'll address next time. So, Lord willing, there will be a part 4 to end this series for your edification and to the glory of God.